It is great to see you today. Thank you very much for being a part of our services here at Azalea City. I do believe that it'll probably be one of our bigger crowds online today. So I'm thankful for that capability, and we even have some of those that aren't able to be with us that keeps us going up top. And so I'm thankful that we have so many people that are willing to help out around here. What a blessing it is to be a part of God's forever family. We have a new theme this year, as you can tell. It's about moving forward. We certainly, as Christians, do not want to be satisfied where we are spiritually. You see, the devil wants nothing more than for us to, number one, believe we're not good enough. And then when we overcome that, he wants us to say, oh, hey, you're just fine. You don't have to study. You don't have to do this. You don't have to worship. You don't have to pray. You don't have to do these things. And eventually what happens is those things will fade in our lives. But when it hit me, and I discussed it with the other elders, reading through Paul's writings again, and especially in the book of Philippians, and Paul talked about moving forward, forgetting the things that are behind. Today, if we don't do anything else but forget our past and leave it at the cross and change our ways by being immersed in Christ for the remission of our sins or coming forward and starting anew, then we've done a lot. We've done what it takes to get ourselves climbing and moving forward. When Bo was younger, he would enjoy climbing up the ladder in the front yard, maybe we're putting Christmas lights out or whatever, and jumping off of it to Dad. We will not reenact that today. But you may have felt like that in your life. You have climbed up where you need to be spiritually, and something happens, and you've jumped off. Maybe you've fallen off. Today, it is my prayer. It is my hope that we will all begin climbing today, and we will come away with a faith that will help us not climb down, not jump down, or not fall down, that we will climb up and move forward. I want you to turn in your Bibles to the book of Nehemiah. Nehemiah chapter 1. I love this book. I love it for a lot of reasons. One of the reasons is because of exactly what we're talking about today. Nehemiah was a man who we know from our studies worked for the king. Now, Nehemiah didn't have a hard job, per se, but he could have a dangerous one, for sure. He was a cupbearer to the king. What that meant was he would have to taste the wine to make sure it wasn't poison. So there wasn't a physical labor involved, but if somebody poisoned that wine, his job was very hard. But that was his job, so it took someone that the king trusted. It took someone that had a spirit about him to even get to that point. We also learn in Nehemiah chapter 1 that Nehemiah had a love and a passion for his homeland. In chapter 1, verses 2 and 3, it reads, "Then Hanani, one of my brethren, came with men from Judah, and I asked them concerning the Jews who had escaped, who had survived the captivity and And they said to me, the survivors who are left from the captivity in the province are there in great distress and reproach. The wall of Jerusalem is also broken down, and its gates are burned with fire. So it was when I heard these words that I sat down and wept and mourned for many days. I was fasting and praying before the God of heaven. Now see, the reason that is so fascinating to me is because of what Nehemiah says in this text. First of all, he called Hanani one of his brethren. Now, you will recall that Nehemiah is Jewish. Nehemiah wasn't in Jerusalem anymore because Jerusalem had been taken captivity. And what had happened in all of this is some had escaped, some had gone to other provinces, other places, some moved up in rank like Nehemiah. But what the people had done is they had closed in on the city of Jerusalem, the city that will eventually be the city of our Lord, the beginning of the church. All that history in Jerusalem, God's chosen people, and they had come in, they being the enemies, had come in and torn down the walls. Now, if you know from history, walls meant the city was fortified, meant that it was their security. Oftentimes, it was some of their places to live. Many people lived in the walls. But these walls, once they were torn down, so was their defense. So was their security. So was their home. And when Nehemiah, who again had this great and elite job working for the king, heard that his home from one of his brethren had been torn down and the gates were burned with fire, he sat down, he wept, he mourned for many days, and he began fasting and praying. Why did he do this? Because his home and his roots and his loved ones were broken. Yes, the walls were broken, but there were lives that were broken. His brethren, his hometown people were in distress, and his heart was with them. So he sat down, he cried, and he prayed. You know, at this point of the story, we're all reminded of some very sad but important truths. From time to time, we're all going to face things that will keep us from moving forward. You see, Nehemiah sat down, he cried, and he prayed because his people couldn't move forward anymore. They couldn't thrive anymore. They couldn't press on anymore. Their security, their home was in ruins. Their walls had been torn down. Their gates were being burned. They couldn't press forward. The hard truth in our lives today is that sometimes things happen that we can't move forward. Jobs get broken. Marriages get broken. Families get broken. Churches even get broken. When these hard realities hit our lives, one by one, or sometimes, unfortunately, they stack up on top of one another. The question is, faithfully, how will we respond? How will we respond? Today, there may be people here or tuned in online that have faced broken jobs, broken marriages, broken families, broken relationships, broken whatever. And maybe you're tuned in today, and because of these things being one-on-one or stacked on top of each other, you have quit moving forward. My prayer today is that we will pick up those ruins. We'll put it back together. We'll climb together, and we'll move forward together. But there's a formula to do that. And we need to respond by doing what Nehemiah did to get folks to cooperate and climb and move forward and start rebuilding their lives again. Here's the formula. He prayed. In Nehemiah chapter 1, verses 5 through 11, we've got a long ways to go, so I want you to go back and read that. We won't read it for now, but he prayed. He prayed because he was concerned. He prayed because his heart was broken. He prayed because he needed advice on what to do next. Don't we need to lead those prayers in our lives? Don't we need to pray when our hearts are broken? Don't we need to pray when our hearts are full? Don't we need to pray when we've got people in our lives that are hurting? Don't we need to pray when we need direction in life? You see, God knows just what we need. And if we've quit moving forward spiritually today, we've quit climbing up the ladder to God today, then we've got to stop and pray. Nehemiah didn't just pray on that occasion. He prayed many times. Even before he talked to the king, who was his boss, about going back and doing something about this, in chapter 2, verse 4, we don't even have those words. It just says he turned and he prayed. What great advice. So the first thing Nehemiah did in order to climb and move forward is he prayed about it. The second thing he did is he worked. He rolled his sleeves up, didn't expect others to do it. He went to work. Why? Because it was something worth working for. Is your marriage something worth working for? Is your family something worth working for? Is your church something worth working for? Then don't just sit back. Let's roll our sleeves up and let's get to work. Those walls in that city were worth saving. So Nehemiah went to work. He prayed, he worked, and then thirdly, he overcame. When you read the book of Revelation, God's people seem to quit moving forward. You know what had stopped them? Fear. And it was an understandable fear. They were being burned alive. They were being boiled alive. They were being skinned alive. They were being treated and mistreated awfully. So God, through Jesus Christ, went to the last apostle, more than likely alive at the time, John, who himself was exiled to the island of Patmos, and he penned the book of Revelation. And you want to know what it says? I spent a year teaching Revelation. If you really want to dig into it, it takes a lot. But here's what it says in a nutshell. To the overcomers. That phrase is used time and time again in that book. He was saying to John, get this book in their hand so they would understand that I don't need them to quit. I need them to climb and move forward. Nehemiah was an overcomer. In chapter 2, verses 17 and 18, listen to these words. Then I said to them, that's Nehemiah, you see the distress that we are in? How Jerusalem lies waste and its gates are burned with fire? Come and let us, he included himself in that, build the wall of Jerusalem that we may no longer be a reproach. And I told them of the hand of my God which had been good upon me, and also of the king's words that he had spoken to me. So they said, remember now, they were crying, they were distressed, they were scattered. Now their mindset is, let us rise up and build. Then they set their hands to this good work. It's a good thing that after this rallying, climbing forward kind of speech by Nehemiah, they didn't respond by saying, nah, we're not going to do it. What if they would have? Then I don't believe the story would have happened. I don't believe Nehemiah would have been able to rally the people. But his speech was so encouraging. He was saying, we can be overcomers. He had prayed about it. He went to work on the plan. And now he's overcoming all the distress, and the people's overcoming all the distress that they're in. But I want you to know, even when we do all that, it's just like we're talking about in the book of James. Those trials we go through, it's because Satan's mad. It's because the enemy's mad. Just when it seems like here's a brand new year and we're climbing forward, guess what happens? About 100 of our people through families and tracing and everything else are not able to be with us today. You know why? Because the devil doesn't want this to continue. He doesn't want the church to be here. He'll use anything he can. But you know what? We can't let this stop us from climbing. We can't let this stop us from moving forward. There are going to be other things. Once COVID is able to be dealt with, it's not going away. Once it's able to be dealt with better in society, there'll be something else. There'll be drama. There'll be something that will the devil will try to stir up. Guess what? He did with Nehemiah 2. Look at chapter 2, verse 19. But when Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem heard of it, they laughed at us and despised us and said, "What is this thing you are doing? Will you rebel against the king?" Now flip over to chapter 4, verses 1 through 3. But so it happened when Sanballat heard that we were rebuilding the wall that he was furious and very indignant and mocked the Jews. And he spoke before his brethren in the armies of Samaria and said, "What are these feeble Jews doing? Will they fortify themselves? Will they offer sacrifices? Will they complete it in a day?" What a jerk, right? "Will they revive the stones from the heaps of rubbish, stones that are burned?" Now Tobiah the Ammonite was beside him and he said, "Whatever they build, if even a fox goes up on it, he will break down their stone wall." To me it's sad. It's aggravating, but it's sad that there are discouragers out there in the world today. Unfortunately, sometimes they even sneak in the church. You know, discouragers today do not want you or me to succeed and move forward. They're joy stealers. They're people that are miserable because they quit climbing. Or maybe they never started. And they didn't want to move forward spiritually. And so what they do is they try to get you to come down from your building. Come down from your momentum. Come down from your zeal. Come down from your faith. Quit moving forward. So they'll discourage. They'll try to bring up gossip and slander and negativity about you. But you know what? Even though Sanballat, Tobiah, and Geshem were those kind of people, and we have those Sanballats, Tobiahs, and Geshems in our lives who will mock, laugh, discourage, and ridicule, we've got to adopt the attitude that the people and Nehemiah had following all this. Look at chapter 4, verses 7, 8, and 9. "Now it happened when Sanballat, Tobiah, the Arabs, the Ammonites, and the Ashdodites," they had rallied a bunch of people now, "heard that the walls of Jerusalem were being restored and the gaps were beginning to be closed, that they became very angry. And all of them conspired together to come and attack Jerusalem and create confusion." There will be confusion creators in our lives. But look at verse 9. I love that word. "Nevertheless." No matter what happens, no matter what they do, despite the fact, "nevertheless, we made our prayer to our God. And because of them, we set a watch against them day and night." We've got to have "nevertheless" kind of attitudes. No matter what the devil may do to us, no matter what the enemy may do to us, "nevertheless, I'm going to climb forward. I'm going to climb, I'm going to build, I'm going to move forward in my life spiritually." All this praying, all this working, all this overcoming, what did it get them? Turn to Nehemiah 6, verses 1 and 2. First, we're going to see that they endured more criticism, but then we're going to see the results. Now it happened, when Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, the Arab, and the rest of the enemies heard that I had rebuilt the wall, and that there were no breaks left in it, though at that time I had not hung the doors and the gates, that Sanballat and Geshem sent to me, saying, "Come, let us meet together among the villages in the plain of Ono." But they thought to do me harm. All right, hear this. Ethan read to us from 3 and 4 earlier. And that's really the crux of what we're going to talk about today. But I want you to see what's happening. Nehemiah prayed. Nehemiah worked. He became an overcomer. The reason he had to be an overcomer is because there was a lot of obstacles against him. There was a lot of reason not to move forward. There was a virus, if you will. The walls were torn down with their virus. It was a big job, a big project. We'll talk more about that in just a moment. But at the end of the day, here is the heart of today's lesson. All these people said, "Hey, we can't tear it down, so come and let us meet." And Nehemiah said, "Oh no, they want to do me harm." Here's verse 3. "So I sent messengers to them saying, 'I am doing a great work, so that I cannot come down. Why should the work cease while I leave it and go down to you?'" Do you get that? They were saying, "Come down." Nehemiah stayed on the wall. Today, we may know of marriages that are broken, parental relationships that are broken, bank accounts that are broken, friends, churches, families, they may all be in little pieces, but we must realize that we are doing a great work, and we need to climb, and we need to build, and we need to stay climbing and building and moving forward until the job is done. If we're going to keep climbing and moving forward, there are three things we learn from Nehemiah. Number one, we got to stay focused on where we are going. There was literally a mountain of a job ahead of Nehemiah. Some say the wall perhaps was 2.5 miles in diameter. Think about it. When he received the news, he had no help. He had no money, no supplies. Not only was it a mountain of a job, there was a mountain of oppression and criticism as well. He had to get folks to climb and build, but he also had to keep folks climbing and building and moving forward. You know what God wants us to do today? He wants us to stay focused on where we're going. You know where we're going? We're going to heaven. And God wants us to stay focused on that. Unfortunately, there are people from time to time that lose focus of that. Why? Because the devil's good at what he does. The discouragers are good at what they do. And so the devil wants you, the enemy wants you, the discouragers want you to lose focus, to lose sight, and to quit climbing. But God wants us to stay focused on heaven. He wants us to stay focused on building. He wants us to stay focused on growing. But the devil wants us to be finished. He wanted Jerusalem to stay broken down. He wanted Jerusalem and God's people to be finished. He wants the church today to be finished. He wants you to quit. He wants you to give up. But we need to not listen to him. We need to climb and we need to hang on. You know what my favorite part of this whole lesson is? This whole book of Nehemiah? It's actually Nehemiah 6 verse 4. Nehemiah says there, and Ethan read to us, "But they sent me this message 4 times, and I answered them in the same manner." What was the message? We just read it. come down and come see us. Nehemiah answered them, I'm doing a great work. I cannot come down. So they came back. Nehemiah said, I cannot come down. I cannot come down. I cannot come down. Heaven is too great. Hell is too hot for us to come down. Let's stay focused and let's get the rebuilding of God's people done. Number two. He wants us to stay focused on where we're going, but we got to stay faithful to who we are. If you look at Nehemiah 6 verse 5, it reads there, Then Sanballat sent his servant to me as before, the fifth time with an open letter in his hand. He told him, I can't come down, I can't come down, I can't come down, I can't come down. That wasn't good enough. He didn't give up. The enemy will not quit. He will not quit. So he comes a fifth time. This time and he comes with an open letter. That's very important. The wording there is very important for us to see. The reason it's important is because most letters that would be sent would be sealed. And only the one who received it could break that seal. But this was an open letter. Anybody could open it. Anybody could read it. Anybody could change it. Listen to what was in the letter. It is reported among the nations in Geshem, says that you and the Jews plan to rebel. Therefore, according to these rumors, you are rebuilding the wall that you may be their king. Isn't it crazy how gossip works? And you have also appointed prophets to proclaim concerning you at Jerusalem, saying, There is a king in Judah. Now these matters will be reported to the king. So come, therefore, and let us consult together. Unfortunately, folks, gossip is still strong. Gossip has gotten a lot of people to come down and quit. I talked with someone just this morning after our Bible class who told me that someone that they love dearly quit the church because they were sitting around a bunch of Christian women, and all they would do is gossip about the other people in the church. That person that this person loves said, I will never step foot in the church of Christ again. You see, gossip has gotten a lot of people to come down and quit. Relationships have been torn apart because of rumor and gossip and lies. Nehemiah has the perfect response to stay on that wall to this open letter filled with lies and gossip in verse 8. He said, Then I sent to him saying, No such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. Wouldn't it be best if we as a church, when gossip came to us, say the same kind of thing? Think of the change that would happen. Here's a couple rules of thumb. If someone's not there to defend themselves, and what is being said needs to be defended, then it shouldn't be said. Okay? In other words, if someone is going to gossip about me that Terry didn't do this or Terry did this or whatever, and I would need to defend myself and I wasn't there to defend myself, then it shouldn't be said. Pick up the phone and call Terry. Second rule of thumb. If someone will gossip to you, they will gossip about you. Okay? If somebody's going to come to you and talk to you and spread gossip to you, they will turn around and do it about you. I believe it's the most committed sin on the planet. Nehemiah said, no such things as you say are being done, but you invent them in your own heart. He didn't listen to it. He stayed focused on the task, and he stayed faithful to who he was. Listen to verse 9. For they were all trying to make us afraid, saying, their hands will be weakened in the work, and it will not be done. Now therefore, O God, strengthen my hands. Instead of talking about them, he talked to God. Well, wouldn't that be great? Wouldn't that be life-changing? Oh God, please give us the strength to strengthen our grip and get the job done. Some will spread rumors. Some will leave. Some will give up. Some will come down. But we have got to stay focused and stay faithful to whose we are. Finally this morning, we need to stay firm in what we believe. I'd love to tell you after all this that Sanballat, Tobiah, Geshem, and all the rest of their henchmen got the message. But they didn't. Satan is tenacious. He's tenacious. He didn't just tempt Jesus on one occasion. He kept coming. He didn't just tempt Paul one time. He kept coming. He's not going to just tempt us. We're going to resist, and he's going to leave us. No, he may flee for a while, but he's rallying the troops. He's regrouping, and he's coming back to tempt us and tempt us and tempt us again. He will attack the family. He will attack what's close to you. He will attack the church. He doesn't care. The criticism didn't end in Nehemiah's life either. After all this, he says, afterward I came to the house of Shemaiah, who was a secret informer. And he said, let us meet together in the house of God. Listen to this. He makes it sound just like it's all good, right? Let us meet together in the house of God within the temple, and let us close the doors of the temple. For they are coming to kill you. And indeed, at night, they will come to kill you. Now, before we go any further, I think we need to remind ourselves, if we live long enough, we're always going to have a Judas in our lives. We're always going to have somebody who betrays us, who hurts us, who sells us out. Jesus had a Judas. Nehemiah had a Shemaiah. Look at verses 11 through 14. And I said, should such a man as I flee? And who is there such as I who would go into the temple to save his life? I will not go in. Then I perceived that God had not sent him at all, but that he pronounced this prophecy against me because Tobiah and Sanballat had hired him. For this reason he was hired, that I should be afraid and act that way and sin, so that they might have cause for an evil report, that they might reproach me. My God, remember Tobiah and Sanballat, according to these their works, and the prophetess Noadiah, and the rest of the prophets who would have made me afraid. Even though Shemaiah was trying to get Nehemiah to listen to a lie, Nehemiah stayed firm in what he believed. And that was the word that had come straight from God. You see, the cost of compromise is far too great when it causes us to cross God. It's always right to do right. And it's not wrong to do right, but it's not right to ever do wrong. We cannot ever compromise our faith and the truth in God's Word. In closing, if we will stay focused on what we believe, we will stay focused on where we're going, stay faithful to who we are, and firm to what we believe, we will not only keep climbing and moving forward, but amazing things are going to happen. Nehemiah 6:15. So the wall was finished on the 25th day of Elul in 52 days. 52 days. I said this before, but you can't hardly pull a permit today and get this done in 52 days. 12 feet high. 10 feet thick. 2.5 miles in diameter. They got it done in 52 days. Remember when Nehemiah received the news? The walls were torn down. They were living in fear. They were defeated and left in ruins. They certainly weren't climbing and moving forward 2,000 years ago. Christ went to the cross. He was mocked, scorned, spit upon, nailed, scourged, and raised up for all to see. There were Sanballats and Tobias and Geshems and Judases all around Jesus Christ. In 52 days, Nehemiah changed Jerusalem forever. In 6 hours, Christ changed the world. Let's climb. Let's build. Let's move forward. After all, it was Jesus Christ who first laid the foundation. Today, if you need to become a child of God, or you need to get back up and keep moving forward, I invite you to come right now together. We stand and sing.